Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Andrew Johnson of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We've got good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And so far, each time a Republican presidential candidate has officially thrown their hat into the ring, we've bestowed the good martini on that. And we do that once again today, although Marco Rubio's an official announcement with the big cheering crowd and everything, that'll happen later this evening. But he went online today and said, yes, he's running for president, thinks he's uniquely qualified to speak to the next generation. He's a young guy. He's just in his early 40s, obviously is from a Cuban heritage. The Latino vote's going to be more important than ever in this campaign. Andrew, a lot of strong conservative credentials for Marco Rubio. He's done very well lately on foreign policy issues, especially related to Cuba and Iran. The big question mark, of course, is how he'll be treated by the base after his active participation in the Gang of Eight immigration bill. But a lot to like about Marco Rubio. Is going to add to the field here and be fun to watch to see what happens here.
Marco Rubio is going to be a very interesting candidate. He's kind of like a draft pick, you know, that maybe in college they didn't have the best numbers and best production. So you look at his poll numbers right now and sort of the GOP primary. I mean, in some polls, I think one of the most recent ones, he was tied with Huckabee about 8%. And, you know, a lot of people think of Rubio in a higher tier than Huckabee. But he's like a draft pick with a lot of potential because people just think he sort of has the intangibles he has, whether it's his background, whether it's his ability to communicate on issues of foreign policy or domestic issues, that he has the highest ceiling, that he's someone that can give a Jeb Bush, you know, in his own state, which will be its own interesting little battle they'll have to figure out, or Scott Walker, a run for their money and again, maybe be the candidate for the Republican Party. So it is interesting because, like you said, is the base going to forgive him for it? I mean, National Review ran that cover story a couple of years ago with Rubio's folly during the Gang of Eight immigration debate. But at the same time, there does seem to be a lot of energy for Rubio. So maybe people are past that. Maybe he's been able to sort of smooth that over and convey what he always said was him just trying to be a voice in that process, not necessarily an endorsement of that bill. So I think he's actually going to be one of the more fascinating candidates just because from a geographic standpoint, from a background standpoint, from even, you know, I guess a, you know, age standpoint, it'll be interesting.
Who do you think has the edge with the millennial voter? I guess it's hard to describe every millennial voter in some sort of monolithic way, but Rand Paul certainly making a big pitch for them. He's going hard after privacy and protecting emails and phone conversations and that sort of thing. I think Rubio is fairly sympathetic on those issues, although not as outspoken, yet he speaks the language of Pitbull. So he's actually quite a rap aficionado. Which one has the inner track on connecting with young people?
Well, that's what I was wondering about because, you know, usually at these GOP announcements or events, they're always playing country music as, you know, the people take the stage and everything. It would be interesting if Rubio did play, you know, some 90s hip hop or something as he as he walked up to the podium with the parental advisory warning and everything. I guess I don't know who would sort of take that. I would guess that maybe if you were sort of to take the temperature of the room from a volume standpoint, I would feel like the Rand people are perhaps more vocal about that. I mean, he does have a lot of support on these issues. There is sort of, you know, the youthful libertarian base that loves to be heard and get themselves out there and comment on your Facebook posts. Again, that's where Rubio's interesting is his corner of the Republican voters isn't super clearly defined in a lot of ways. It's sort of bringing a lot of different parts of it together. And I don't think there's anyone that truly, totally discounts Marco Rubio unless you're still holding it against him with immigration. I think there are people that are willing to sort of have him as if not their top choice, they're comfortable maybe putting him in their top three somewhere. So I don't know. So, I mean, that's an interesting question. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, I should be fair to Mr. Rubio. He actually thinks Pitbull is a little too focused on party music. He actually thinks, you know, classic Tupac, Eminem are slightly more deep when it comes to rap. So I don't know how big of an issue he'll make of that. But, you know, I assume he's announcing somewhere close to Miami. I can sense a little Will Smith coming there, maybe.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, I was also, you know, he's also kind of doing the reverse LeBron where he's not taking his talents to South Beach. He's, you know, I guess he's leaving South Beach to go somewhere else.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yes, that'll be interesting. And I guess what I just was remembering when I was talking about top three, there was an article today, I think it was in National Journal, that even his own campaign sort of admits that they're in third place behind Bush and Walker.
Right.
But basically saying that, you know, we're comfortable with third place right now. Again, I guess if sort of the word to be associated or the phrase with Rubio is sort of just highest ceiling or most potential or something like that, even if right now it's unclear, I think people think he has a high ceiling.
Yeah. An interesting piece in the National Review by Joel Gerke today saying that Marco Rubio pretty much hates being in the Senate because nothing gets done. He doesn't really see this as some sort of Hamlet type decision on whether to run for the Senate again or run for the White House. He doesn't really have any interest in being back in the Senate. So if he doesn't win, perhaps the article suggests he could be a 2018 candidate for governor. But it looks right now he's got a real shot at making a strong push for the nomination. So we'll be sure to watch that. Over on the Democratic side, Andrew, we were shocked yesterday. Hillary Clinton actually deciding to run for president of the United States in 2016. Yeah, exactly. Apparently, she's this one-and-a-half-term senator, did a little bit of bureaucratic work in the first term of the Obama administration, has held some other unelected offices in the past. But no, she obviously is the Democratic behemoth in this race. She launched this 2-minute video, most of which wasn't even her. It was a bunch of different people that you don't recognize who are starting a business or somebody's looking for their first job or somebody's going to school and so forth. And so, of course, the champion of the everyman is Hillary Clinton.
I'm getting ready to do something, too. I'm running for president. Americans have fought their way back from tough economic times, but the deck is still stacked in favor of those at the top. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. So you can do more than just get by. You can get ahead and stay ahead. Because when families are strong, America is strong. So I'm hitting the road to earn your vote. Because it's your time. And I hope you'll join me on this journey.
So by her own admission, she's now in the Scooby-Doo van on the way to Iowa, Andrew, and so we'll find out, I guess, whether real people will believe this. But what do you make of the fact that she is presenting herself as the everyman candidate here? Lunch Bucket Joe can trust Hillary Clinton to make life better for them.
Scooby-Doo van, zoinks. you can definitely tell in that video that she's kind of doing a semi-Elizabeth Warren impression. I mean, she talks about it being, you know, stacked for those at the top. She's for the everyman. She's definitely tapping into those. And, you know, I guess getting in a van sort of adds to all that. And we'll see if it works. I mean, when I did watch that, which when I first started watching the video, because someone emailed it to me, you're right, it barely includes her up until the end. And I thought the person actually sent me the wrong video. And I was actually very confused because I hadn't seen her yet. And I wasn't sure if this was just like there's previews for movie trailers. If this was like the preview to her video. When she talks of the people at the top, I mean, you can't help but think, you know, the Clintons, they have that. But she also tried to hit on some notes that would dispel that. She talked about trying to earn your vote to sort of shake the presumptive favorite label that's been slapped on her. The video seems to be sort of getting mixed reviews. Some people think it was effective. Other people think it weren't. So I guess we'll see how it shakes out in the coming days. But one of the things that sort of was hitting me when I watched this and everyone was talking about how this is going to sort of push the Rubio announcement out of the room. This is supposed to be Rubio's big moment. This is supposed to be his week. I actually think it will be interesting because I think it actually might elevate Rubio as a candidate, because now you're going to basically have maybe the conversation on all the cable news shows and radio and Free Martini Lunch podcasts being how does the Hillary announcement compare to the Rubio announcement, kind of almost putting them in a head-to-head already from the get-go that you know might make Rubio seem like a more formidable candidate. And I saw some murmurs that maybe Clinton, you know, decided to sort of suddenly do this weekend to kind of step all over the Rubio announcement as sort of a sign of them being aware of his potential threat. It's all very interesting.
Road tripping with Hillary Clinton. Fascinating or nightmare?
Well, I wouldn't want to be on it. I'm curious to know where they will stop, you know, what everyman diners and all those that they've carefully orchestrated and planned that she'll stop at.
All right, on to the crazy martini now, and back to Marco Rubio. As you mentioned, the Clinton announcement potentially stepped on that a little bit, but just as the Republicans are ready for Hillary's announcement, it looks like the Democrats are too. They have basically decided that under no circumstances will Marco Rubio ever get past that moment that he paused in his response to the president's State of the Union to take a drink of water. And granted, it was an awkward moment because he had to leave the camera shot and grab a bottle of water and come right back. He didn't say he was taking a break or anything like that. It certainly could have been smoother. But to suggest that somebody's entire political career is wrapped up in one slightly awkward moment, granted on live national television, seems to be pretty low picking fruit there on the part of the Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Rubio camp, you're just kind of using that as a sign that if that's the best they got, that's the best they can throw at me. If you're Rubio, maybe you have to be encouraged by that. It obviously was sort of a silly moment, and I remember watching it and just being confused about what just happened. But if that's the worst Rubio had to withstand, you know, in the general election, assuming he got out of the Republican primary, then all you have to say is, well, I'm pretty sure Hillary drinks water too, doesn't she? I think there's going to be a lot more to go. You know, if we're going to sort of talk about childish antics, I wanted to mention this in the last Martini, and I forgot that one of my favorite things was I read on Politico today that Hillary's goal for this campaign is to keep Bill Clinton happy and involved. Which sort of reminded me of, like, you know, a kid, like, make sure they feel included, make sure they feel involved, make sure you're giving them the attention they need so they don't act out and they don't. So you know, I think if water is the worst thing Rubio has to worry about, then he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Andrew, great to have you subbing for Jim today. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Take it easy. Thanks.
You bet. Andrew Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. Jim will be back on Tuesday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please tune in tomorrow for the next 3 Martini Lunch.